Who's saying this, Will?
I don't know.
What are they doing? Come on, guys. Let's get this podcast rolling.
Wait, Ryan, Katie.
Hey, you need to stop. Sorry.
Say it again.
Cut.
Okay, we haven't called you yet.
Do I need to stop this?
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Dell.
Melissa Dell.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
They made it! Almost forgot her name!
I forgot what just saying there! Y'all didn't give me enough time to get in here and sit down and stuff.
Okay.
The pressure is so great.
Sorry.
How many games are we looking at today on the Kickstarters?
Today, we are talking about four games coming to Kickstarter on October 10th, 2017.
Wow, all four on
October 10th. All four on October 10th.
Wow.
Why waste time with other days when you can have the main day?
That's awesome.
Well, cool. I think we just jumped into the show. I don't know if we were really planning to, but we're here now, so let's keep rocking.
Is October 10th a Tuesday?
It is a Tuesday.
Because that's like the big day for Kickstarters, right?
It is. Yeah. Science has proven that fact.
But if you do it on Wednesday now, you'll actually have the whole day to yourself.
That's true.
So be the renegade and launch your Kickstarter on Wednesday.
Or do it Monday, and we'll talk about you on our show, and then people can
see
you right now.
That's cool.
Well, cool. So we've been doing all kinds of fun stuff. We just played a bunch of games. Sarah and I just got back from Legoland. That was pretty fantastic.
We had a great vacation with our kids.
I thought you went without your kids.
Even more. No. It was excellent. None of us had been there before. And our kids have been digging Legos hardcore for, like, I don't even know, a couple years. They've actually been saving money since their birthday. And we told them basically that however much money you save, we'll double it. And then we'll get something cool.
Wow, 1,000 times two. That's a lot of money.
No, it's a good thing they're poor, because I'd be really poor.
Yes, they have been working hard and asking for jobs to do and asking the neighbors if they have yard work to do. So it's been really good to motivate them to learn how to work hard.
Yeah, and it was a super fantastic trip. We got to see some good friends while we were down there and hang out, and we made it back safely, and now we're doing a podcast the next day, so no time wasted.
And did you get to play any games while you were gone, or was it all like
We took a couple with us. Okay. We didn't actually play. We played a lot of games. They were great. Actually, they played... So one thing that I think is interesting is how games are like taking over other things, because we went to Legoland. It's supposed to be a theme park where you ride rides. The best ride at the park was this new Ninjago ride, and it was a little bit like the Spider-Man ride at Islands of Adventure, where you would put on 3D glasses, you get in the car, they call it a 5D experience because you're getting like blasted with water and steam and everything is in 3D with your glasses. And then you actually are playing a game on the ride, which is pretty
cool. Oh, I heard about this.
Yes.
Wait. I think Will's upset at Sarah about this.
No, you didn't hear that. I don't know.
Yes.
There's no evidence.
Will was a little jealous that in the game, while you're on the ride, you're using karate moves.
Yeah, I don't think it was like karate.
Well, you're using your hands to physically try and throw little fireballs at all the bad Lego.
Three-dimensional. Yeah. There's like a sensor in front of you. You wave your hand over it. It's pretty cool. You can aim balls of fire at bad guys.
And how did Sarah do it?
I made the Ninjago Master level of over 200,000 points.
And I was all proud of myself because I got off and I was like, 100,000 points?
She doubled your score, man.
I did.
Black belt, take it away.
Go Sarah.
Yeah.
It was good. It was a really cool trip. Really, really good time. So later on in the show, we're going to be doing an interview of Helena Kappel from Kids Table Board Gaming. They are actually our show sponsors. Should we give them a shout out?
This episode is sponsored by Kids Table Board Gaming. Their game Haunt the House launches on Kickstarter October 10th. Keep listening to learn how you can have a chance to win a bundle of their game Food Fighters and a Problem Picnic t-shirt.
Ooh, a bundle. That sounds cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So thank you, Kids Table Gaming, for hooking us up. Right now, I'm making noises in the background because I'm like, handing what? Papers
Why
to Brian and Katie.
Pardon my giggling.
They don't even know what's going to happen here, but no. Katie made an excellent suggestion earlier, and during the meeting that I was supposed to be paying attention in earlier, I took some quick notes because I thought, let's just take Katie's idea and run with it right now. So, are you ready, segment? Katie?
Oh my goodness,
we don't
for
have
what?
A segment. This is the two-player game. Does Ryan know Katie's brain of board gaming?
Oh!
What?
All right, so Katie, you have your pen and your paper. Ryan,
I do.
You do as well. We're going to ask you a couple of quick questions. You write down your answer, Katie.
Okay.
Ryan, you write down the answer that you think Katie will answer.
Oh, this is awesome.
This is the ultimate test.
And we are watching. Like you cannot cheat. No cheating.
Okay.
This is live happening on the spot. Okay, question number one. Katie, co-op or competitive? Ryan, you write down your answer.
This
is Katie's brain.
Katie's brain.
Katie's authentic answers. Ryan is trying to duplicate. Here we go. Next question. Legacy, campaign, or one-off?
Is that three answers?
This is three, but you can only pick one answer. Legacy, campaign, or one-off? I feel like Ryan should know these.
He's looking
Don't
at
look so
Will
shocked,
weird.
Ryan. You got these.
I'm having to think too hard, so I'm kind of concerned that Ryan's not thinking.
Okay. The importance of theme in a board game on a scale of 1 to 5.
Which is 5 being the best?
5 is the best. 5 is like, if there's not an amazing theme, I will not even play this game.
Okay.
1 is, theme doesn't even matter. All I care about is the mechanics.
Yay, cubes!
wait, that's going to help me later.
You get all different questions. Be ready next time. I'm just going to spring this on you whenever.
Okay.
Next one.
There's more?
No, there's
okay.
far more.
Wow, okay.
Dice or cards?
Katie's brain.
Doo-doo.
Hey. I know what Ryan's answer is for this.
Minis or cardboard? Quit looking. Okay.
Okay.
I don't even know what this question means, but I wrote it down anyway. Big or small?
You can interpret
What is that even
I don't know.
Supposed
we
to
just,
mean?
You just answer however you, whichever is the right answer for Katie. Big or small?
Brian, if you don't get this one.
That one?
Ouch. What is this to me?
I'm pretty sure I missed that one.
Last question. Favorite meeple color. This is the Lobo. Come on, if you can't do this, Ryan, then...
Uh-oh, the panic in his eyes.
His eyes are panicking,
Katie's eyes don't look much better.
I know, I'm panicking, no!
Yeah. Player marker color, which... Okay.
Player marker
color. No, it's different. Those are different questions.
Without...
Meeple
okay.
color.
Well, then we'll stick it in what's written down. Meeple color.
Meeple color. Okay. Because those are different answers.
Okay. All right. So, let's see. We'll have Ryan answer first.
Yep.
That way Katie can hit him if she needs to, and then she can give us
I
her
don't
answer.
Know how well I did.
We're all about to find out. All right. Co-op versus competitive. Ryan, what did you
I down? Said co-op.
That is correct.
Yay!
Ding, ding.
Legacy, campaign, or one-off?
I wanted to say legacy or campaign because we do so much.
Right,
but
right.
But then I was thinking, I think she might like one-offs more, so I went with one-off.
With the other.
I went with campaign.
All right, theme, scale of 1 to 5. What's your number, Ryan?
I said 4.
Oh, correct, dear.
Yay, all right.
It's too correct.
Dice or cards?
Cards, because she doesn't like math.
Truth.
Excellent. Minis or cardboard?
I want to say cardboard because she likes tiling
games. Right.
But I went with minis because she likes to paint.
That's true. I put down minis.
Yay! You're doing good, right? Big or small?
I went with small because she likes
to paint. Oh, that head is shaking her head.
Oh,
no.
Missed it on that one. Okay, and then last one, meeple color.
I don't think they make it in her favorite color, so I just put green.
What? Why would you do green? I always try to do blue.
Blue.
Oh, but she never gets to do blue.
Because Will's... I do blue Will's not around.
Just
what is that?
What if there was a meeple color in the color, what would it be?
Yeah.
I think this is purple.
Pink.
Oh! I said that for last, hoping it would be the win.
But pink is the color I play with if... it's an option. Like, pink trumps all like the pink. Other colors.
All right, good.
I have
new marriage peoples. Ruined every episode.
I'm colorblind, so and I wouldn't be able to tell.
I just created a document. We're going to start keeping track of this.
Scores?
Oh, made nice. His brain. Scores. 4 points. Out of how many? Was it how many?
I don't know how many questions was
that. Seven.
I actually didn't ask all the ones that I had. I decided to save some.
Okay, out of seven.
Oh, uh-oh.
That's fine.
So tune in next week.
What's that, seven?
4 out of 7.
4 out of 7.
It's more than half. I feel like that was a good first run on our... And we'll come up with a name for this segment, too, because I feel like...
Oh, we don't have to come up with it. Oh. People can tell us.
People could? Hashtag us with a name for our new segment?
Yeah. Tantrum House Podcast. Hashtag Tantrum House Podcast. And tell us what the new segment should be.
All right, mm-hmm. Cool. Trivia, a couple
one
together.
Versus what?
I was like, bored together? I think that's already taken. Good job, you guys.
Compatibility. That's already good.
Yeah, that's a good
There's so many good options. Already stolen. All right, so let's just keep rolling. We'll jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
All right, Melissa, tell us what you got up on the top of the docket.
Well, Kevin and I have played Intel by Fisher Heaton Games. It's coming to Kickstarter on October 10th, which like everything we're talking about is coming
Why
October
Why are we
going to
say October 10th?
Yeah. Just in case you didn't catch it the other times. This is a two-player abstract strategy game. The theme is that one player is a computer hacker trying to take over a corporation's electronics,
infrastructure,
their data, and the other player is supposed to be blocking that person and keeping the information safe.
So it's like black hat versus white hat, if they're like computer, like right. techno geeks.
Mm-hmm. So it comes with 7 tiles. I just had to count them.
Such a fast counter.
Yes. It comes with 7 tiles, and those tiles have a bunch of different, 7 different icons on them. And when you play, you put your token onto a tile, onto a colored icon. The next player has to play on the tile that matches the color of the icon you covered up. So if I covered a green icon, then the person I'm playing against has to place their token on the green tile, and they cover a red icon. So then I have to place my token on the red tile and back and forth, and you're trying to get area control on these tiles by either making a line or a triangle. And there's a lot of blocking and kind of thinking mm-hmm. ahead from move to move to try to force the other player to have to play on a icon that will then give you the opportunity to make that control. Yeah. And the first player who gets control of 3 adjacent tiles will win the game.
Yeah, a lot of abstract strategy. You're thinking like moves and moves ahead. So even like when you're thinking of like a chess, you're like, the master's going to think so many moves ahead. Like I'm thinking like maybe 3 or 4 moves ahead in Intel. I'm thinking, okay, my brain's just starting to hurt right now.
I'm usually on defense mode. Like I just don't want to send it to this color. What other option do I have?
So Will was actually introduced to this game, I think at Mega MoosCon.
Yeah, Mega MoosCon in something North Carolina. Sorry, South Carolina.
It was in South Carolina.
What is it?
Richburg.
Richburg.
It's in Richburg, South Carolina.
It's such a hard name to remember. I got to play with the designer of it, and he kind of walked us through it. He had like a really large version of it.
He gave us that version.
Oh, did he?
Awesome. Here, on your table.
It's big, and it's cool. I think he said the real one's going to be maybe half that size, or did he specify?
I think he said 4.5 centimeters. Okay. I have an email.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked how big it was. I don't know that the final piece will be that way, but it's got some cool stuff.
4.5 inches. I'm sorry. 4.5 inches.
Centimeters would be real tight.
I was like, wow, centimeters. Had 2 millimeter thick. That's what was in my mind.
Oh, gotcha.
So right. But it's.
I'm interested to see how this does. Abstract strategy games don't seem to do as well on Kickstarter. I think people are really drawn in by theme and artwork. And so this will be a good one to watch because the game is solid mm-hmm. and it will, there is not as many people who are interested in abstract strategy, I think, as some of the other.
Is it just a two-player game or is
just
it?
Just a two-player
just
game.
Two, okay. And it's pretty quick. It plays about 15
minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's really quick. And like one, I think even Sarah and Melissa were playing tonight and they're like, I'll play the white. I'm going to play the black. And then like, oh, let's switch sides and see how that goes. So, you know, you can play like multiple times in a night and have, you know, fun. Even if it's a filler game, it can become a non-filler game by playing multiple times.
Well, it's pretty cool that it's a two-player game, because I get questions all the time from some of my friends asking, like, what are your recommendations for two-player games? Because, you know, they're like, it's just me and my wife, you know, what can we play? What do you suggest? So it sounds like this is a good option for two players.
Yeah, and it's really simple. You put your thing on a color and, you know, then the other person has to respond. A lot of reacting.
But yeah, lots of strategy too.
Yeah. So yeah, and that is Intel. All right, Katie, you had something you wanted to talk about?
Yes, we're going to talk about Neon Knights 2086. It is a...
The 80s are back.
Yes, in the 2000s. It's a car racing / battle game. So it's like a survival race, and you like get a car. They've got little miniature cars that they've got, and a racetrack gets built out. You're trying to battle other cars. You get upgrades to your drivers, upgrades to your cars. It looks pretty slick. It's got some neat, like, just like it looks very 80s, but it's got a lot of like neon glow effects and
that's cool.
Things like that. It has some neat looking art to it.
Did you guys see this at Gen Con?
Yeah,
I actually got to talk with the designer at Gen Con, and he showed us some of the miniatures, early prototypes.
So it's cards in
for the cars, okay. And yeah, mm-hmm. it's looking pretty cool. I'm not sure how the gameplay will be, but I like all the 80s. 80-ish. I don't know how you say that. 80s-ish stuff.
Disco fever.
Cyberpunk. Wrong decade.
To me, that's what it looks like. A disco party. It's neon lights.
I think you're like...
You're
like
confused.
Knight riders. You're knights in cars that are for hire or something.
Interesting.
I don't quite understand it, but it looks cool.
Yeah, and apparently there's a campaign mode that's going to be... available in this as well, so that'll be interesting to see what that is about. Over to Kevin.
So really quickly, I wanted to mention Detective City of Angels. It also is launching October 10th. We're actually going to be interviewing Evan, who is the designer of the game, and this is being published by Van Ryder Games. And one of the cool things that drew me in right away was the artist. One of my favorite artists is Vincent Dutrait, and he is the artist of Detective City of Angels. This is like a murder mystery game. It's got some action points. It's got some area of movement and time track. I don't really want to spoil too much about it because we're going to have an interview with him next week. But look out for Detective City of Angels coming to Kickstarter. It's 1 to 5 players. I don't know if I mentioned that or not as well. But I think Katie wants to talk about something we talked about last week. I think we got something in the mail.
Yes. So last week I talked about Ruby and how I didn't actually get any of the cards to try to play the game. But we got the cards in the mail. And the art on there is very nice. It does look just like the TV show. And we actually haven't gotten to actually try them out because we opened them just this evening. But there's some really neat looking actions on here. So it'll be interesting to try those out. So I just wanted to mention that. Oh, and it is on Kickstarter Live already. And yes, they've
definitely hit that pledge goal.
They have definitely hit their pledge goal already. So there's a lot of fans out there of this IP.
27 days to go and way over already. So
yes.
As of this recording.
Yeah. So check that out if you're interested. And who was it? Sarah, did you have something you wanted to talk about?
I just want to talk about our interview that's coming up. We are going to be talking with Helena Kappel at Kids Table Board Gaming. And let's hit that interview now and welcome our house guest.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming. We're excited about your game. We've been playing it a lot, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let me give the audience a quick preview of who we're talking to. Kids Table Gaming.
Oh no,
already messed up. Great, we're just gonna keep going with that. Kids Table Board Gaming, Josh and Helena, the duo, they've put out a couple games already. I think we've been huge fans of pretty much all of them.
Thanks.
And we, part of the reason for that is because we've got kids and you have kids as well. I'm sure that's probably some of the motivation behind that a little bit. Do you want to just start off talking family talk? Tell us about your kids.
Sure. We have two boys, and they are training to be gamers.
Awesome.
They are five. They're 5 and 8. And actually, I think they might be a little past training to be gamers, I should say. One of them already has his own game design journal, so he's pretty Sweet. Much into it. That's the younger one. He tells everybody when he grows up, first he's going to be on the Toronto Blue Jays, and then when he has to retire, he's going to do game art and design games just like his dad. And I've been begging him to take over my company one day.
So. Awesome. I love the long-term goals. That's fantastic.
Right. The older one, is playing games that are like far beyond his years. So I think that we've got a pretty tight-knit family of gamers, just like you guys do.
Yeah, yeah. We're working on the same train. I was actually going to say the same thing. Like, it's amazing how quickly kids pick up the board gaming mechanics and are able to jump into it. Our 9-year-old is playing games that I would never have imagined playing as a kid.
Right.
My question for you is, are you already seeing, like, tastes come out of them? Like, do they have mechanics or genres that they lean towards, or are they just like, anything new, I will devour it?
You know what? I'm starting to see the older one have tastes for games. Like, they both do not like dexterity games. So, you know, which is unfortunate because our second game was Problem Picnic. They actually like playing it, and they like the strategy piece of it, but they don't like trying to roll the dice to get them onto the card. So they definitely, we know that we're not like the biggest dexterity fans around here, except for that game, of course. But the older one really is enjoying Deck Builder. His favorite game is Dominion, which is awesome.
Excellent,
And we recently acquired a game from Huch and Friends called Tenno. Mm-hmm. And the two of them, the older one and the younger one, are teaching it to their friends. They're teaching it to their cousins. And so that's really nice. So they're, I guess I would say, like, card games, deck builders, that kind of stuff is what's usually hitting the table these days.
That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah. I don't think we've actually really played any deck builders with ours yet. We need to sneak them into that
genre.
Harry
Potter one or something.
I don't think Liam's played that one yet, though.
Okay.
But.
Cool.
But maybe we need to, yeah, that's cool. I guess card games are probably the thing that they play most. Like, our game kind of got them started.
Right.
Steam Court is the one that we published, and Liam can beat me at that pretty much every time.
Yeah. Wow.
They've played all kinds of different stuff, so it's super fun. I have this, like, weird geek pride when I watch my kid, like, beat other adults at board games.
It's completely understandable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, excellent. Well, cool. So, Kids Table Board Gaming.
Yes.
I noticed that there was a small change in your logo recently.
Oh.
Is that like a hint that you guys might be not just playing kids' games? Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, I think that we're trying to have a little more general appeal. I think that one of the things that we wanted to do when we started the company was empower kids to become gamers and have the table become theirs. And that's why we called it Kids Table. And I think cool. that sort of alienated the other side of really what we're really trying to do is create games where adults enjoy the games that they're playing with their kids. And so we're trying to pull back a little bit from this is a kid's game to this is a family game where the adults are really going to enjoy their experience when they're playing with their children, not because they're having fun watching their children play, but because they feel challenged and they're actually enjoying the game themselves. So
excellent. I think you guys are nailing it on that because...
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, because the games that you guys are putting out, we're playing with them, and it's like, you know... We used to have to play Candyland and Clue Jr. and, you know, whatever. And those games are, like, tolerable.
Right.
But when we can sit down and actually we can strategize and there's just enough luck in it that it can go either way and the kids are enjoying it and I'm enjoying the art and we're having fun, like, that's exactly where I want... Those are the games that I want to play with my kids. So thank you guys for producing those.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I love when people... feel that way about the games that they're playing. Because usually when I talk to people who aren't in the gaming industry or aren't gamers, they tell me that they can't stand playing games with their kids because they are playing Candyland. They are playing Sorry. And yes. it's just sort of mindless. You're going through motions. It's nice that you're spending time with your children. Game. Whose favorite game?
I said, Sorry is my least favorite game of all
okay.
time. Like, it is the worst
okay,
game ever.
All right, well, why don't we move on a little bit, and why don't you tell us about Haunt the House?
Yeah, that's why we're here. That's the main event, right?
Yeah, it sure is. Well, Haunt the House is hitting Kickstarter a week tomorrow, and tomorrow is Tuesday. So it's October the 10th that it's hitting Kickstarter.
So is that probably when this goes live? Monday night. So it's tomorrow,
that's
everybody.
Perfect.
Tomorrow
okay,
is
tomorrow.
A live date.
Tomorrow. And it is a 2-4 player press your luck bluffing set collection game. And the awesome part of it, which I haven't found for most games that have ghosts in them, you're actually playing a ghost.
Yes.
And you are
yes.
trying to scare out ghost hunters from your house. And so it's a very unique view of what you're doing in the game. And the really great part about it is that press your luck. Am I ready to scare this ghost hunter out of the house? Is that ghost hunter ready? And am I going to totally mess things up?
Waste my turn.
And
yep.
waste my turn and give things away to someone else. So it's a really fun game. Everyone around here loves playing it. We had our nieces and nephews in from overseas in the summer, and every single time we saw them, they asked to play the game. And they know we have this incredible collection, and that was the game that they wanted to play. So I'm very excited to be bringing it to Kickstarter and bringing it to the world.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about the process to get here. Like, how long have you been playtesting it? Tell us about that art, because it's gorgeous. And tell us kind of where your inspirations came from for the mechanic.
Awesome.
If you can remember all three of those questions.
You might have to, I'm going to start talking and I might have to ask you to repeat, to repeat some
Perfect.
Of it. So Josh and I and the kids drive every year down to Florida for winter break. And every year we decide the discussion, you know, when the kids are doing their own thing in the back, is going to center around what are we doing next. And 2 years ago, after Food Fighters, mm-hmm. we said, what are we going to do next? And we talked about theme versus mechanisms. And because I like to start with theme, because I feel okay. like the mechanisms can come out of the theme. And so mm-hmm. what came out of that was a haunted house. You're trying to scare people out of your house. And there were, I don't know, 20 different iterations of the game where the game actually turned into a top secret mission in a building, an office building. So we actually changed it from being a haunted house to going and trying to deliver top secret papers. Mm-hmm. And then that didn't feel right, especially with kids. And so we turned it back to a haunted house. And now we're 2.5 years later. And finally, the game has gotten to a point where we're so happy with it and love playing it that we were ready to dive in and look at what the game would actually look like. And so when Josh and I started talking about it, he said to me, you know what? I'm not doing the art for this. I'm sure I can do a fantastic job, but there's a feeling that I want to get from it when I look at it, and I'm going to find an artist who can do what I would like them to do.
Cool.
And he found Apolline Etienne, and her work is so fantastic. You can look her
yes.
up.
Very fun.
Really, really amazing, and especially for this game. Like, she blew the whole thing out of the water. I could not believe... how fantastic it is. And then Josh recently has taken some of the elements that she's created and he's using them to do his graphic work. And right now we've got a shot of three card backs up on Board Game Geek that he did using a bit of her art and a bit of his art. And just the two of them just did the most incredible job. And if the game itself doesn't bring you in, that art just totally envelops you.
It does. It's very fun. It feels creepy, but without feeling like gross or really scary, right? Which I love. So it's a really good balance between like fun and whimsy and still being really relevant to the haunted house theme. So excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent. Love
Thank
that.
You. Thanks.
Tell us just a couple more minutes about the mechanic for it, because I think it is pretty cool. In my mind, when I describe it to people, I kind of have been telling people, like, well, it feels a little bit like Smash Up, but, like, with a theme that makes sense. Have you gotten that at all? What's the, how would you, in a sentence, describe the mechanic for that part of it?
You know what? It's really hard to compare it to anything. And it's not like it's anything that is so brand new that we've never seen, but it's hard to describe what the game is like, because I feel like the way we brought all of the elements together, it does sort of feel like we've created something new. Mm-hmm. So essentially what you're doing in the game is you've got these spooks and you are going to play them in a room to scare out the ghost hunter that's in that room. And so you can either play them face down, which is invisibly, or you can play them face up, which is visible. And you're playing them so that there's sort of a tipping point at which you may use the ones that are on the table and the ones that are in your hand to try to match up what will actually scare the ghost hunter out of the house. So we're using chills and moans and creaks and bumps.
Yeah.
And so when you match up what those hunters are looking for to be scared out of the house, or you think you have, you can yell boo on that ghost hunter and everything gets revealed. And when you reveal, if you have the right set there to scare the hunter out, then the hunter's scared out of the house and you get to collect their gear. If you don't,
yeah, cool,
everything's been revealed, and you sort of messed up.
And you make everyone else on the table mad, so. Too.
That's right. It's true, because then you've got to get rid of some that have been there, and now everybody knows what your secrets were. So.
Yep. Very interesting. We've enjoyed the gameplay a lot. I think we actually have a review of it that'll be on our channel, and I don't know if it'll post before this interview goes
live or not.
So we'll get that covered. But yeah, if you guys want to see how to play it and see what the artwork looks like, be sure you can check out our website. We'll have it on there. And then obviously you need to go check out this Kickstarter.
Next up,
I don't know if you've listened to any of our podcasts, but we do kind of a little segmenty thing where we like to play games with our hosts, with our guests. So one of our favorites is this ABC game, okay? So nice and straightforward. I'm going to give you a topic, and then you have 30 seconds approximately to name as many things as you can that start with letters of the alphabet. So our topic is going to be spooky things, starting with A. Give me a word that is spooky that starts with A, and they go through the rest of the alphabet. So it could be something like, I don't know, an axe murderer, something like that. Okay, ready? You start in 3, 2, 1, go!
Albino dragons?
Okay, sure. B. Boogie.
Boo!
Boo! C! Go to C!
Oh, this is terrible.
Come on, you gotta make it to at least G. Come on, you can do this.
Oh my god. C. Cats.
Cats.
Yes.
D.
Doorknobs.
3 seconds?
Yes.
Doorknobs. Good job. Come on, give us a D. We need one more. Oh, time's up. Oh.
I'm terrible at this game. The worst. Oh my god.
Wait, she can be prepared the next time she comes on.
Next time.
I am going to be
back,
prepared.
You'll be ready that
time. You
better
give me that topic.
Then I'll give you a totally different topic. Yeah. So we will need to have you back on, because give us just a 10-second blurb on this other project that I hear you're working on called Endeavor.
Yes. Well, I started a second brand because one wasn't enough, and I don't have enough things to do in my life.
Of course.
None of us. I started the second brand. Oh, there's Josh.
Hey, Josh. In.
Hello.
So I have 10 seconds. I have 10 seconds to talk about Endeavor, so I'm going to do that. I started a second brand called Endeavor, Burnt Island Games, and our first publication is going to be Endeavor. It is a reissue of a game that was released about 9 years ago by Z-Man, they sort of let it go for some crazy reason. It is an absolutely fantastic game, and in fact, it actually brought me into the gaming world. It actually, after I played Endeavor for a while, I decided I was a gamer. It is a colonizing game set in the 19th century, and it is going to be really amazing. Bunch of new stuff, and I can't wait to talk to you guys about it.
Cool. Well, we will definitely have you back as we get a little closer to the launch of that project. It sounds exciting and fascinating.
Thanks.
As we wrap up, go ahead and give us one more time, like, the date, where we can find you, Twitter handles, all that good stuff, because we want people to be able to find Haunt the House.
All right. So, Haunt the House Kickstarter, October 10th, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us, our URL is kidstablebg.com. And our Twitter and our Instagram handles are at kidstablebg. And we are all over the place, and we're constantly posting, and come see us wherever you can.
Awesome. Thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight, for answering a bunch of questions. Good luck with your campaign. Best wishes on that. And we will definitely look forward to connecting with you again in the future as we talk about some other games that are coming from Kids Table Board Gaming.
All right.
Amazing.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Super great having Kids Table Board Gaming on the show. They, as we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, are sponsoring this episode. So they have agreed to give us a copy of their game, Food Fighters, which we have super enjoyed, as well as a t-shirt. So you're going to get the full bundle this time. Kevin, tell us how people can get a hold of that.
So we will be tweeting about this, their game, Haunt the House. We've done a video review, so you'll see us tweeting about that. All you need to do is retweet our tweets while we talk about Haunt the House video and about our podcast episode where we talk about Haunt the House. And we'll get you for a chance to win this bundle.
All right, and we need to announce our winner this week.
From last episode, yeah!
All right, Ryan is going to roll our die.
Do 100-sided, 3-sided, 29-sided?
It is a 37-sided die.
37 today. All right.
And the result is 30.
30?
Who's right. Number 30?
Mike from South Carolina.
South Carolina?
What?
Finally!
What?
Hey.
Wow.
Local listeners.
All right.
Mike, you will be winning a copy of Junking and... By Order of the Queen.
That's right.
Wow. It's like another double whammy.
Two for one.
It's not just like any copy of Junk King and By Order of the Queen. It's like the Kickstarter
exclusive stuff.
So congratulations.
Yeah. So since you're local, come play with us because we want to try it out too.
Like South Carolina, yeah.
South Carolina local.
Make the trip.
So keep listening for like other cool things we give away because you never know if you will win a copy of really cool board games in the future.
So that wraps up our episode. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. And we'll see you later. Goodbye from the house.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't forget YouTube.
And Instagram.
And the Guild.
Yay.
And Etsy.
How many of those things are we going to say every time?
All
subscribe
of them.
To them all.
All
we love
sorry.
You.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!